listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Well, to get us started this week on CMDA Matters, I want to share a passage of scripture that I am quite certain that you, our listeners, are familiar with. And it's from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, a passage that we lovingly refer to in the church as the Great Commission. And it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Those very familiar verses guide and direct so much of what we do here at CMDA. And they are also the verses that served as the starting point for Dr. Paul Hudson's new book entitled Healthcare and the Mission of God, Finding Joy in the Crucible of Ministry. It's a book that focuses on how faith, healthcare, and disciple-making all fit together within the framework of the gospel, and how you can flourish in your work as a Christian in healthcare, responding to that great commission. Well, you'll hear more from Dr. Hudson about his journey of obedience, serving in healthcare missions over three decades. All of that led to his new first book. So let's jump right into our recent conversation with Dr. Paul Hudson. Well, it is my delight to welcome to the program today Dr. Paul Hudson, who was trained as a physician at Johns Hopkins Hospital, an epidemiologist who spent some time at the U.S. Center for Disease Control. And he and his family served for many years with SIM, the sending agency, as medical missionaries in Ethiopia, in Nepal, and in Thailand over the course of three decades. He's done not only clinical medicine, but also community health, HIV and AIDS care. And at the heart of all this has been an impetus to promote discipleship. Toward the latter part of his career, and I've gotten to know Paul a little bit better because of this, he's been involved in leadership with SIM here in the U.S., and he's been SIM's point person for healthcare ministries for a number of years, leading a team to shape and support healthcare missions globally. He and his wife live in Charlotte, which is the international headquarters for SIM. So, Dr. Paul Hudson, welcome to CMDA Matters today.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be with you.
Well, I want our listeners to know that I think the most memorable time that I have thinking about Dr. Paul Hudson, it was in April, I think, 2016, and it was a weekend. Our families were together for a conference in Athens, and we were on a tour of the Acropolis and the Parthenon, and we were taken up on Mars Hill, and our guide said, would one of you doctors like to read the passage in the book of Acts? And you volunteered. And so here's Dr. Paul reading from the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill from Acts chapter 17. So that was a really cool memory for me. I don't know about for you.
I love the fact that we were there, you know, at the shadow of the Acropolis, you know, just thinking back to where Paul was. It was very memorable. So, yeah, thanks for the memory.
You've been working on a book that you published this year, Healthcare and the Mission of God. What prompted you, Paul, to write this book, and how long did it take you to put this together?
It took 3 years to put it together. So my own journey in healthcare missions has been at this interface of these enterprises, which sometimes look like they're going in separate directions. You've got the gospel in this direction, and sometimes medicine seems to take off in its own direction. So there's this gap, which I think most of us are aware of and try to live in the center of or live in that tension. But I wanted to explore more about what the gap was about and where the integration is, how to truly integrate gospel and missions, how the Great Commission, Great Commandment go together. The second part of my motivation was really just looking around at folks who got too burned out or too tired or just weren't able to finish. And so it's a kind of a pastoral approach to try to bring some clarity to what's God's vision. How do we think about this, these tasks, and how does God put it together in his work in the world?
Well, Paul, throughout the book, you make some statements which just thrilled my heart. Early on, you suggest that the Great Commission brings ministry to the body and ministry to the spirit of man together. Could you unpack that a bit for our listeners? Because I realize that you spend a lot of the time in this book making that argument, that ministry to body, ministry to the spirit, all brought together in that Great Commission in Matthew 28.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So sometimes I think we think of the Great Commission as an extra work or something that we hope to get to, or even the gospel itself, we think of as something that's, you know, maybe separate from what we do in everyday. I mean, the Great Commission is the heartbeat of Jesus. I mean, it is the outcome. It's the place where God is going. It's the way in which he blesses the world. Now, rather than make the Great Commission something separate, or evangelism something separate and add-on to our lives, the book really takes us back to a bigger picture of the story of the gospel. So the gospel in sort of three major parts could be creation, fall, and salvation, or recreation. So if you start with the beginning, you start with why, how we were, not only how we were made, but why God made us. The Great Commission fulfills the purpose for which God made us. And I'm looking into that more deeply. It's really an issue of God put us on the earth to live as human beings under God for the sake of the world, for the sake of the flourishing of humankind. And so if you look at it that way, Great Commission enables us to flourish, to live under God, to be connected back to God in order that we bless the world. It doesn't take us out of the world. It moves us into the world. That's the beginning of my answer anyway.
You describe in the book, Dr. Hudson, what discipleship and disciples look like. Could you define those terms for us? And you also make a very bold statement. You said, disciple making is the heart of healthcare, not something separate. Are you saying all of healthcare, no matter how and where it's done, that discipleship is at the heart of healthcare?
Absolutely, absolutely. As Christians, discipleship has to be at the heart of everything we do. Why is that? It's because being a disciple is someone who loves Jesus and makes him known, right? A disciple is someone who is a learner. A disciple is someone who has not arrived yet, who absolutely needs Jesus in every aspect because he or she is broken and human and sinful and can't get it together. So it isn't someone who's arrived at perfection, who is able to accomplish all the wonderful things that he should do. It's not a matter of our works. It's a matter of God's grace. So, I mean, discipleship has to be at the core of everything. It's all of us. I mean, we may not be involved with an organization or a system that is there for mission. We may be in regular secular employment, but we can still have the heart of discipleship, the heart of being a learner from Jesus and using what he's given us, the skills he's given us for his glory.
I 100% agree with you. But I would say if that's the standard, I think somehow in American medicine, and I'm talking about Christians now, those of faith who are ardent followers of Christ, in terms of how does discipleship fit into our practice, I think it seems like in most places it's non-existent. We are mentoring and we're showing the next generation how to do healthcare in our particular specialty where we're working, but in terms of discipleship, it seems to be largely absent. Am I wrong with that observation, Dr. Hudson?
That's one of my concerns in writing the book. Medicine can take on a life of its own. It's very powerful. It's a wonderful profession, and yet it can consume us and almost become an idol. And so that's what we want to guard against. We want to use what we've been given, this great and powerful tool, but to use it in the context of what God is doing. I wonder sometimes, Mike, if we think of discipleship as a program or we have a certain idea of what it means behaviorally. rather than more of a lifestyle. So if it flows out of who I am in Christ, if we get to the being a disciple, the core identity, it has to do with core identity. And if I am in Christ, if I'm growing and learning in Christ, if I recognize that I am not sufficient of my own, and we see God working through us, the model of medicine with apprenticeship and working with peers and working in teams, the ability to show Christ in so many different relationships and settings is just like, it has to be what it's all about, mm-hmm. whether we're here or whether overseas. It's Jesus working through us. Sometimes that's going to lead us into conflict because we're going to have to say, no, that's not on. We're not going that way because it's clearly against scripture. And we're just going to have to speak up. Other times we're showing our love. And sometimes we get the opportunity to actually speak the words of God, the words of the gospel, because we deal with whole people. Yeah. We have to speak as well, have words as well as actions.
How could U.S.-based healthcare professionals, especially our ardent CMDA faithful followers of Christ out there, be more intentional, you think, Dr. Hudson, at making disciples in the trenches of patient care as well as training the next generation?
I know there's the constant call to be more busy and to see more and more in smaller spaces of time. And yet sometimes there's the Holy Spirit, you know, enables us to hear someone's question or to spend more time. And particularly when the question comes up, why? So illness is not just physical, right? It has meaning and people attach meaning to. So why did my child get sick? Or why did grandfather die? Or why did this happen? Those why questions we tend to avoid. You know, technically in medicine, we're not supposed to really have answers for these things. But rather than avoiding them, to kind of move into them, not necessarily with a preset answer that we know the mind of God, but to bring the bigger story of the scriptures, of the gospel in, as appropriate, in a professional way, but not to avoid the deeper questions. Now, that may be the question on a patient's mind. It may also be there are similar questions on the part of our staff and the colleagues that we work with. You know, how does this all go together? What am I really working for? What in the end are we really getting at by what are we really accomplishing? Well, we may not get to accomplish as much as we would like to, kind of in the realm of, you know, preventing as many cancers or treating as many cases of pneumonia or HIV/AIDS. But if we narrow it down and say, maybe I do a smaller amount physically, but I'm accomplishing more because I'm reaching deeper into the heart of a person. That's our struggle, to find those Holy Spirit opportunities to dive deeper with individuals. It may not necessarily involve us for tons of time, but it may spark a conversation. I think we tend to think of evangelism and discipleship as kind of an extra burden. I mean, how can I do that? I already can't fit in what I'm doing. And I think in a way we need to rest and relax and to you know, Jesus has us. As we get to know him, as we walk more deeply with him, we can trust that he will give us wisdom, what to leave off, where to focus. And sometimes that focus is not just on our patients and what we can do for them or on our staff or colleagues. It's on ourselves. There's work that needs to happen in ourselves, and we've been kind of resisting it. I know this was the case with me in my first term as a medical missionary. So God has a way of bringing up our weaknesses. He has a way of tripping us up on the things that are really important and go deep in our lives and things that we may not want to look at. But the way of the cross is the way of weakness. And that's also what it means to be a disciple, not just doing something for someone else. It's really growing in who the Lord wants to make us. There's the story of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who tells of the tombstone of a gentleman in England who, he said, on the tombstone was the expression, born a man, died a grocer. And he said, I think there's way too many of us here in the medical profession of whom it could be said, born a man, died a doctor. Mm-hmm. Our identity is huge. And if we find it only in medicine, without putting Christ underneath it, we're going to find ourselves dying doctors.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. For those of us who are called to healthcare through our relationship with Jesus Christ, our question should not be if we are living on mission, but rather where and how we are doing it. Wherever you are in your healthcare journey, we have ways to equip you to live on mission each and every day. If you have any questions about how to get started, learn more through CMDA's Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions at cmda.org/CAM. That's C-A-H-M. Are you interested in short-term mission trips? Well, now is the time to start thinking about signing up for a global health outreach trip. GHO sends teams around the world to places like El Salvador, East Africa, India, the Pacific, Central Asia, Nicaragua, the Middle East, and many others. Through these trips, we disciple participants, grow national churches, share the gospel, and provide care to the poor and needy. Our teams minister in outpatient primary care medicine and dentistry, and in small and large hospitals to provide surgical services. If you are interested in using the skills and resources the Lord has entrusted to you, please visit cmda.org/gho to learn more and find a trip that works in your schedule. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
Well, you spend a whole chapter differentiating the term medical missions from healthcare missions. And over the past several years since I've been at CMDA, we've been very intentional at using the broader, what we see as a broader term, healthcare missions, because it seems like it makes the tent bigger under which all sorts of healthcare professionals fit. It's not just physicians and dentists, but others under the tent. But you make the differentiation for a very different reason. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I love the term healthcare missions for the reasons you've said, but it does have historically there's baggage that's attached to that term. I describe medical missions as sort of the first 170 years of missions from sort of the 1800s, early 1800s to about 1970, where medicine, evangelism, hospitals sort of were the centerpiece. But about 1970, there was a whole move towards primary health care, and WHO had health for all by the year 2000. And so there's been this shift towards this broader view of health, which is, of course, more than just medical care, right? Health is broader. There's been a broader view of health and the importance of the church and the importance of building up local capacity and development. The reason I make the distinction is because of the challenges that come with the assumptions underneath this more recent term of healthcare missions, the more recent emphasis on primary healthcare. And that is that while the first 170 years of medical missions, it had the challenges of integrating gospel and medicine. It was hard to put them together. The integration of the two was never really clearly articulated. Mm-hmm. So it had that challenge. But this more recent term seems to put it all together, but in one sense, throws out the baby with the bathwater. Some of the folks behind this more recent enthusiasm for healthcare missions really didn't want anything to do with evangelism and didn't really have much respect for medicine either. Mm. So it was more of a global, let's get all together and improve and bring in the kingdom. And so healthcare missions, if you're not careful who you're reading, you might think, oh, it's all about me and my work and building the kingdom, and it's not really much about medical care. It's just sort of getting out there and doing good stuff. Mm. Well, that's wrong. So to avoid the worldview, the assumptions underneath those two terms, medical missions and healthcare missions, I make the distinction. But having said that, we have to call it something, and healthcare missions is a good term, but we need to be careful that we talk about our assumptions underneath it, not just assume that everyone's in the same ballpark.
Well, you had a number of topics you discuss in your book, and one of those is, I thought, your very thoughtful chapter on leadership in healthcare missions. And you talk about that there's a chief task of leadership in healthcare ministry, one that you say cannot be delegated. Talk to us about that responsibility that leaders have to take on and take responsibility and, of course, have to go to the throne and to the Holy Spirit for guidance in that arena.
Yeah, so the concern is that folks who take on a leadership role, whether it be a big one or a small one, might say, well, gee, I don't know about strategic planning and I don't know much about finances and I haven't been trained for this and that because my training is over here. But those things can all be dealt with by members of the team. It's not that we got to be experts in everything, but there's one thing that we can't delegate as leaders, and that would be the vision for the ministry, the actual identifying, embracing, and communicating the purpose for why we're doing this. Why are we doing this big enterprise? Mm-hmm. You know, this is a big thing. It's a lot of effort. Why are we doing this? The leader can't delegate that. Always needs to talk about why are we here and how does this fit in with God's purposes?
Was this your first book? I should have asked you that early on. This was your first book, Finding Joy in the Crucible of Ministry. You had a quote in the book, which I really appreciate. You said, Paul, I remain in awe that the Lord uses ordinary people like doctors and nurses to build his kingdom and transform cultures. He uses us not because we are professionals, but because we trust him. The blessings of the kingdom are not based on our abilities, but on God's love and faithfulness. We plan our activities, but his purposes will prevail. And of course, that's from Proverbs 16:9. When we are determined to trust him, you write, he delights to use us to demonstrate his character. Love is caught more than it is taught. And I will say that over the years that I was at Tenwick Hospital, I would notice over and over again that there was really a move toward the short-term completely U.S.-based doctors who would come and serve in whatever specialty, that spiritual ministry seems so foreign. The whole concept of discipleship and sharing the gospel seemed so foreign, and it was almost like a nuisance that chaplains would be there and interrupting and slowing them down, sort of like elevating what we have to offer, the tools that we have and the treatments that we have, elevating that, as you mentioned in the book, as an idol, getting in the way of the purposes of God. So your book is a call back and reflection back to all of us who are in healthcare to think about that it's a very sacred profession. I think that's, over the years, I've come to see that we have been called into a very sacred profession. Not that the Faith at Work movement doesn't have importance for all professions, but for especially for our profession. On our mantle here at CMDA, Dr. Hudson, is that great quote from Luke 9:2, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Not to build houses, not to drill wells, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And you've reminded us in your great book that preaching the kingdom of God involves making disciples along the way. So thank you for that very powerful look back to the Great Commission in Matthew 28 in your book. So any final comments as we wrap up?
So I think some of these matters take a conversation, and I'm hoping that the book is not just something unto itself, but will stimulate conversations among us and between us. And I'm certainly open to communicating. If anyone wants to reach me, they can do so on my website.
What is that? Tell us about your website.
It's just pauljhudson.com. Mm-hmm. And you can get a hold of me and the book on that. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, I read last night to the Ephesians, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So let's all be involved with the whole counsel of God, not piecemeal, and love the way God has created us and the ministry he's given us, to the privilege he's given us to enter into the lives of patients and communities, do that here, do it overseas, in different cultures as God directs us. But then trust that we can be used to bridge the gap, not losing the great legacy we have of medical missions and healthcare missions, but move forward to the challenges of the future, which are going to be new, but by God's grace, we can tackle as we walk along with Jesus.
And Dr. Hudson, you took the time to write some very good questions at the end of every chapter for discussion. So those who are listening, healthcare professionals, if you want to bring together a group in your practice or in your church, I think it would be the basis for an excellent discussion group for iron sharpening iron among healthcare professionals. And then the other thing is your appendix. Your appendix, well, a lot of different resources for great books that have been written over time. One other thing, Paul, is that you shared in your first appendix a liturgy for medical providers, and you finish up with a shortened, excerpted liturgy that I think I'm going to start using from time to time. At the very end of that, it says, "I would not just be a doctor or a nurse or a medical provider, O God. I would be a minister of your healing and compassion at work in your world. I would be a living witness of your love expressed in a practical care of people. I would be your disciple in this place, at this time, among this people. So give grace, Lord Christ. Give me grace this day and all days that I might serve you well by loving and serving others in this healing trade, ever laboring in view of that day when your kingdom will be fully realized at the great mending of the world, at the great ending of all ills. Let me play a small part in that great work today. Amen." Thank you for sharing that liturgy. That's new to me.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, as a surgeon who had the blessing of spending 20 years serving in Kenya under the banner, "We Treat, Jesus Heals," I'm so challenged and encouraged by conversations just like this one with Dr. Paul Hudson today. And I hope that you were intrigued enough to find your very own copy of his book so that you can dive deeper into this topic. You'll find his book online in the CMDA bookstore. Plus, don't forget to visit Paul's website where you can connect with him. That website is pauljhudson.com. And as always, you will find a link in our show notes today. Well, if you're looking for more books on this topic, I also want to recommend a book that we have available in the online CMDA bookstore. And it's written by a wonderful friend and mentor of mine, Dr. David Stevens. It's entitled Beyond Medicine: What Else You Need to Know to Be a Healthcare Missionary. It was a few years back when Dr. Stevens was a first-year medical missionary in Kenya, there at Temwek Hospital, where I served as well. He found that he was well-trained to use his medical skills to help serve and care for the very needy of Africa. But his years spent in medical school, as well as family medicine residency, they just didn't fully prepare or train him for the other responsibilities that he faced, such as governance and management, administration, recruitment, community health, spiritual ministry, development, fundraising, staff discipline, and more. As a healthcare missionary in today's landscape, the success of a ministry there depends on your ability to manage the non-medical tasks that you will encounter every day. This book is a must-have resource to help you go beyond medicine. You can find your copy today by going to cmda.org/bookstore. Well, we intentionally want to remind you of the upcoming Global Missions Health Conference, November 7th through the 9th at Southeast Christian Church, which is in Louisville, Kentucky. If you're thinking about becoming involved with healthcare missions, no matter what term of service, whether short, medium, or long term, then this conference is for you. And while you're there, be sure to look for our CMDA neighborhood in the center of the exhibit hall. We'd love to introduce you to a variety of ways that you can use your skills to serve others in missions. Visit cmda.org/events if you'd like more information. Please join me back here on CMDA Matters next Thursday. I'm going to be joined on the podcast by Dr. Don Middleton. He's been serving as the chairman of CMDA's Addiction Medicine section. He's got a wonderful story to tell us about coming to the end of his own rope and admitting his own losing battle with alcoholism. Admitting that he was an impaired physician to medical authorities actually sparked a recovery that led to a personal calling into addiction medicine. Dr. Middleton will be telling us his story and a little bit about his new book on the classic AA 12 Steps with Jesus Christ as your higher power. Allow me to close by repeating a phrase from Dr. Hudson's book that we discussed during our conversation today. He wrote, "I remain in awe that the Lord uses ordinary people like doctors and nurses to build his kingdom and transform cultures. He uses us not because we are professionals, but because we trust him. The blessings of the kingdom," Paul wrote, "are not based on our abilities, but on God's love and faithfulness." Friends, aren't you grateful that our Lord and Savior uses ordinary people like you and like me who are available and obedient, making disciples while healing broken and diseased bodies? And I'm even more grateful because of so many blessings that he gives us all along the way. Dr. Paul Hudson in his new book has reminded us that flourishing in our work is possible if we'll make the Great Commission a vital focus. What I remember Simon Sinek calling the white hot why of our work in healthcare. And as we do so, friends, we will be bringing the hope and healing of Jesus Christ to the world. That's what matters to CMDA. And we believe that CMDA matters. We'll see you next week, friends, God willing.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.
And periodically, friends, I want to thank our production team, Mrs. Mandy Morin, who sets up all of these wonderful interviews with our guests, and behind the glass, our sound engineer, Rusty Sluter. Thanks, guys.